Welcome back to the Dobbies podcast. My name is Louise Midgley and I'm your host on this episode of Children's Gardening with Dobbies. I'm joined by Dobbies Horticultural Director Marcus Isles, who's going to give us some creative ideas on how to get children involved in gardening this summer. Hello, Marcus.
Hi, Louise. Great to be back.
Yes, great. And I will also be talking to Dobbies' very own Little Seedlings ambassador, Ethan Firth, to discover how he got into gardening and why he is an ambassador for Dobbies' Little Seedlings Club. Hello to you too, Ethan.
Hi.
During this podcast, we are hoping to give parents and grandparents some inspiration on how to get children of all ages involved in gardening over the summer months. We'll also be finding out more about Dobbies' Little Seedlings, a gardening club that encourages children to connect with plants, wildlife and the environment through loads of fun-filled activities. Suitable for children aged between 4 and 10, the monthly Little Seedlings in-person workshops are a great way for parents and grandparents to come together and encourage their little ones' love for gardening to grow. Today, Marcus, Ethan and I will be talking about how we got into gardening and how others can too. And Ethan will be telling us about his role as an ambassador for Dobbies' Little Seedlings Club. So Ethan, if I could start with you, I think we would all love to hear more about the Little Seedlings monthly workshops. Could you tell us what you get up to there?
Well, we all plant seeds and we take them home. We all do fun activities. We all do colouring. And the more they come, they get stickers. And when some children come, they get certificates.
Oh, wow.
And it's also free.
Oh, that's fantastic. How long have you been going for?
7 months.
Oh, quite a long time. And do you take your mum or someone from the family goes with you?
Mum and dad.
Mum and dad, they both go. And have you made friends there?
Yes.
Fantastic. And it sounds like being an ambassador is quite an important title. What does it mean, being the ambassador? What do you have to do? What's the role for the ambassador for the Little Seedlings?
I have to help the children with planting. I hold up the information cards.
Yes. So you're a sort of leader?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. So you love doing that. And you've made friends there, which is great. And before you went to the Little Seedlings Club, did you always like gardening? Or did you like gardening because of the Little Seedlings Club?
I always loved gardening.
So do your family like gardening?
My mum's got into gardening now.
Has she? So you're a bit of a trailblazer in the family. You've really encouraged her, I expect.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I think I was about your age when I started to get into gardening. I really, really wanted to grow vegetables. I don't know why, because no one else in the family did, although my grandpa and my father were really good gardeners. But I pestered and pestered to get my own little plot at the end of the garden. And eventually I was given a really shady little round bed that I didn't think anything would grow in. But actually it did. I grew loads of marrows and radishes and spring onions, I think. And I was just so proud. And I think that was the moment that like ignited my love of gardening, and it's never gone away. So, and I ended up in, you know, having a gardening career, I'm a garden writer and a gardener in actual fact. So I've loved it all my life. So, you know, just when you're a child, it can ignite that love for a hobby. What about you, Marcus? Can you remember how you started into gardening when you were a child?
It was very early on. It was very inspired by not my mum and dad, they weren't really into gardening, but
no.
I had a great aunt who was very much into gardening, and also our next door neighbour, he was a passionate gardener. I used to always be looking over the fence, looking and seeing what he was doing, and because he was retired, and he used to really take a shine on me in my interest, so that really inspired me. So then they would give me cuttings and things and really encourage me, so that's how I started.
That's marvellous. You just need someone just to give that little bit of a push, don't you? And just, you know, help you to start off with.
Yes, I think it does help if you've got somebody that can actually start you down that road. Sharing seeds, maybe starting some cuttings, things like that, showing you around their garden. So I would, you know, look around you. If you're young and you want to get into gardening, then go and find somebody. It may not be your parents, may not be your grandparents, but it may be somebody else, one of your neighbours that may be really keen that you can go and talk to.
Friend of the family, whoever. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think there are far-reaching benefits for children who learn to garden. While getting their hands dirty and having fun outside, they are unknowingly learning the fundamentals of biology and botany, such as the food chain in action and the life cycle of a plant. But when they are just starting out, what gardening activities would you suggest they begin with, Marcus?
I think it is quite nice to get some sort of quick-acting type of plants that you can actually see grow. If it's the first thing you're going to do, I would suggest something like microgreens or growing some salads. They germinate really, really quickly, and that can really enthuse you. We've all done mustard and cress and things like that at school,
yes.
But there's a much wider range of microgreens. They're sprouting seeds that you can grow, and you can experience them germinating, and also, of course, you can taste them as well. So you can then introduce them into your sandwiches at lunchtime, sandwiches that you take to school. So then you can taste them, and they're very nutritious as well. So that is a good starting point. I think always growing things that interest you. I got into growing sort of fruit and vegetables and things like that. Growing rhubarb I thought was fascinating because it just
yes.
grows so quickly and you can get a crop really easily and it doesn't take a lot of attention. Things like flowers like sweet peas and things like that. It was really nice to be able to grow those because then I used to pick them. Of course, the more you pick sweet peas. And I then used to give them to neighbours and everybody would be really appreciative, put them into their into a little vase in the house. They give off a nice smell. And again, they grow really quickly. So you can see them curling up on your sweet pea sticks and things like that. So that is a really interesting way of getting into something really, really quickly.
And of course, when you grow your own vegetables, like you're talking about the sort of like cut and come again salad leaves or the microgreens, there's no air miles involved. It's just in your garden and there's no insecticides involved. So it's a really, you know, good way to grow vegetables. And for the environment, it's so important, isn't it?
Yeah. And you don't need a big garden. In fact, you don't even need a garden. You could, even if you've just got a balcony, even growing microgreens, of course, you can do indoors. So you can do them on a windowsill. So all of these things are open to everybody. You don't need to have a big area. You don't need to have outdoor space. You can actually always find some place where you can grow something. And I think that's important for all young people to sort of get this bug. Once you've got it, like I did
yes.
very early on, I turned it into my whole career.
Yeah, that's the thing to do. And there's so many different careers in gardening. There's so many different ways you can get into gardening or into the garden horticultural industry is what I'm trying to say. Ethan, have you ever grown microgreens?
Broad beans, I've been planting French beans,
runner
yes. beans, sweet corn, tomatoes.
And have you had any problems with slugs with your runner beans? Because I have.
Yeah.
They're a pain, aren't they? I don't want to use any slug pellets, obviously, because I don't want the birds to eat them or any little mice or anything to gobble them up because it's going to, you know, be bad for them and not good for the food chain. But it's so irritating, isn't it, to have to fight with the slugs. I know there's lots of different things you can put, and I have got some funny sort of woolly stuff that I've put around them, which actually did help quite a lot. So what about flowers? What flowers have you been growing? Anything?
I've been planting borage.
Oh, I love that. You know the little blue flowers? You can get white borage as well, but you can put if you pick the little blue flowers off when they're fully open and put them into an ice cube, into the water of an ice
yeah.
cube, you can freeze them and then they can go into a drink because they're edible and it looks so pretty.
And you can also put them in like cakes, drinks.
Yes, yeah, yeah, like little viola flowers as well. They're just, they're edible and they look so beautiful, don't they?
And the bees also love them.
The bees love them. They hang off them. They just love them so much. They're a real magnet for bees and that's so important. Well, I always think a little bit of magic happens when you sow a seed and it germinates and grows into a plant and then produces flowers or, better still, something edible. What would you recommend children grow that's going to be relatively easy to look after, Marcus?
So as I said, you know, the microgreens is a good start. Then going on to salads, so the cut and come again type of salad leaves and things, that's really productive and much better than buying them in a supermarket because you can pick them fresh whenever you need them. Then I think moving on to things like courgettes or marrows, things like that, they grow really quickly. The flowers are really huge. And then to see them being pollinated and then to be able to watch as the courgettes or marrows grow. They're a really nice summer vegetable, really easy to cook and really nutritious as well. And from those, you can then go into things like pumpkins. So, of course, with Halloween in October, it would be fantastic that you could actually then grow your own pumpkins. And those are really amazing to watch grow because they grow so quickly. Of course, feed them and water them, of course, to get them as big as possible. But then you could be carving your own pumpkins as you get into Halloween.
It'd be very satisfactory, wouldn't it, to do that? I think it's a lovely, lovely idea. And they germinate quickly, the seeds. And children will need some basic gardening tools, which are easier to use than the full-sized ones. Which ones would you recommend, Marcus? Which are the basic ones they should get?
So you need to form a little kit, really. So pots and trays are really important. We do a lot of more sustainable options now. So things that are made from recycled plastic and they are recyclable. Or we do ones which are made out of bamboo. So I would go for those because that's better for the planet. Make up a little kit that you've got ready. They're all can be cleaned and washed so you can reuse them over and over again. And then trowels, little hand forks and trowels, really useful. Even a compost scoop so that you can actually then get the compost out of the bag. And then compost, of course, is really important. We've done a lot of work on our compost recently, so we've got different composts for different uses. So if you're going to do seeds and cuttings, you need a compost that's got very limited food in it. So we've got a special seed compost, and that's the one that you would choose. You can buy it in little bags. We've got 10 litre bags, which is the smallest size, so really convenient. You can keep it. Doesn't take a huge amount of space to store it away if you've got a little bit of leftover. And then you've got all the kit that you need to be able to get started. And then just a little watering can so that you can then make sure that all your seeds or cuttings and plants are kept watered on a regular basis. And that's a lovely job. I love watering my plants during the summer every day. It's so relaxing to go around. You can talk to them. Yeah. You can check that they're all okay. Make sure that there are no bugs eating them. Yeah. And make sure they've got the right amount of water. So having a good watering can is really important.
It is. I love doing the watering in the evening. Ethan, have you got some nice gardening tools?
Yeah, I've got shovel, forks.
Have you got a little seed tin to put your seeds in?
Oh, yeah. Seed dropper, dibber.
Oh, brilliant.
Sacketers.
Yeah, fantastic. Because I always think if you keep your seeds in a dry seed tin, sometimes you get packets of seeds that have like thousands of tiny, weeny little dust-like seeds, like Nicotiana is one of those. And you don't need to use them all in one go, so you can just keep them for the next year, which is you keep them dry and keep them in a cool place. It's quite a good idea. Ethan, now you've been gardening for a little while, what would you say the benefits of gardening are?
It makes your mind happy, it keeps you healthy and fit, it keeps you very busy, it teaches you respect and passion, it also gives you a sense of achievement.
Yes, it really does, because you get an end result, don't you? And you're right about keeping your mind and your body healthy, especially your body, because you get a bit of an aerobic exercise sometimes if you're digging, and then you're lots of stretching. That's got to be like a yoga kind of exercise, you know, pulling all the muscles in your body in different directions. That's got to be good for you. So, yeah, so many benefits, yeah. Really. What about you, Marcus? What do you think the benefits of gardening are?
I think Ethan's points are really, really good, and it's great at a young age to be recognising that. I got into gardening without really knowing what it was doing for me, but I recognise now that I made the right choice in my career because I wouldn't have been wanting to sit behind a desk all my life. That gave me the opportunity to go out, as you say, to have physical exercise, to bond with the plants and nature, which I've absolutely done all through my life. So I think those are very great benefits, and it's good, I think, to be able to now I can encourage young people to get involved, because sometimes these options don't come up, certainly within the educational system, as an option. When I first wanted to go into horticulture, they thought I was a bit strange. That why would I want to do that and not go and work in doing computers or something like that? And I would say that it is a fantastic industry to get involved in, whether it's growing on a nursery or whether it's working in a garden centre or working in landscaping or looking after parks and things like that. So I think those benefits are are really important, and we should be encouraging youngsters to actually get involved in the industry, because it is fantastic. It gives you a very good rounded connection to the whole of nature, and that's what I want to encourage going forwards.
And of course, designing gardens, Marcus?
Yeah, I was always sort of more artistic than actually doing sort of construction side. I went into landscaping very early on, so I recognised that I love to design gardens. It's like painting a picture with plants and being able to combine all the colours and things together. And I think there are so many different aspects in horticulture to get involved with that will look after your physical and mental health going forward. So I would certainly, you know, encourage youngsters to get involved, because it is really beneficial. If it doesn't end up as your career, then it ends up as a fantastic hobby that you can embrace all your life.
For sure, yeah. And Marcus, over the summer months, what wildlife should children look out for in their gardens or local parks?
Wildlife is so important now. We're really wanting to make sure that we encourage wildlife into the garden. So keeping a close eye on the pollinators that are visiting your garden, so things like bees and butterflies, and also birds as well, making sure that we've got a good range of plants that are supporting those types of creatures. Getting them into the garden is really important. Then you can keep a bit of a logbook, check every time that you see them. And you know, we're really wanting to encourage more of those types of creatures into the garden. They're good to look at, they're good to watch, but they also do a very important job in pollinating all of these fruits and vegetables and things, so that we can have some really good crops to eat.
And they all rely on each other, don't they? So you'll only get birds in if you've got butterflies and moths, because they have caterpillars, and the birds need to eat the caterpillars to feed their young. So
yes, it's all about balance. And
it is.
You know, we're now discouraging any of the nasty chemicals and things that were used in the past,
so
because they would kill a lot of the bees and other beneficial insects. So it's important now that we do protect them. We don't spray horrible chemicals. And then planting lots of wildflowers, lots of flowering plants that will encourage them into the garden.
And I was thinking, you've got aphids on your broad beans or whatever, and the good guys will come eventually, you know, or you can spray them off with water, or just take them off with your hands. But you will get lacewings and ladybird larvae coming in to eat them eventually, if you just are a little bit patient. But of all the generations, children are perhaps the most clued up on recycling and taking care of the environment. But how can we encourage sustainable gardening from a young age, Marcus?
Yes, it's something that is really, really key now. We're doing our part in terms of making sure that we've got sustainable options. And I think that we're finding that the younger generations, it is absolutely top of their agenda. So it is one of those things that they can help to guide their parents when they're out shopping, looking for those sustainable options. So because we're now 100% peat free, for example, therefore you don't have to worry about buying compost from us. Everything is peat free. Looking for plastic that is recycled and recyclable, looking at the packaging of products as well, making sure that there isn't excess plastic. So it's a little bit of a detective thing when you're visiting garden centres, then find out what the most sustainable options are, and then you can point those out to your mum and dad or your nan and granddad and show them the way. And then using those products, that really does show everybody else around, share with your neighbours, with your friends, and that will really encourage the growth in these products. And of course, we will be excluding a lot of those products going forward, so therefore you're going to be providing a very sustainable option for the future.
Well, that's fantastic. And the last question for all of us would be, what would be your favourite gardening activity that puts you in a happy place? What would you say, Ethan? What do you like doing best in the garden?
Cuttings.
Taking cuttings. Oh, what have you taken cuttings of recently?
Buddleia.
Oh, buddleia. Because actually they're quite easy to do, aren't they? Softwood cuttings.
And the butterflies love it.
They love it. Absolutely love it. I was so lucky a couple of years ago. There was a local garden centre that had a sale of all their buddleias. They were selling them for £2 a plant. And I think I bought six of them. I went quite mad. All different colours. And actually, strangely, it's the lilac one that attracts the most bees and butterflies, because that's like the native one. They seem to love that the most. Maybe it has the most nectar, I'm not too sure, but they just love that one. The pink one, not quite so popular, but they're all beautiful and they all do attract insects, so I'm really pleased. And what about, what would be your favourite thing to do at the Little Seedlings Club? What would be, you know, what do you say is your favourite?
Plant the seeds.
Plant the seeds. Fantastic.
And then take them home.
And take them home.
And take photos to put online using hashtag LittleDobbysSeedlings.
Yes, that's what I'm going to tell everybody to do. Well done. Fantastic. And what about you, Marcus? What's your favourite thing to do in the garden?
There's a lot of things. I love being in the garden. So yeah. I like all the jobs that you need to do. I think some people find them a bit of hard work, but actually, if you don't have a lot of time, or you don't want to be out in the garden all the time, just giving yourself 20 minutes a day, half an hour a day,
yes,
to be out there. Doing the watering is really important. I love planting. I love putting new plants in that I can watch grow. The last thing I think is actually walking around the garden with other people. So interaction between people of what if they've just not really very keen gardeners, or they're just starting gardening, like meeting Ethan today. So, you know, we can talk about gardening forever. You know, there's so many different things that are really enjoyable. So sharing time together, looking at the plants, understanding them, talking about things that go wrong when you, as you were saying about when your beans get eaten by slugs, we're all having the same sorts of problems, and it's just nice to share exchange ideas. And then it makes it better the next year. You have a fresh start every season to do something new.
You do. And in any case, you know, when the slugs don't eat the beans, or when they eventually grow, you feel so satisfied, because you will have failures every year. That's what gardening is all about. Some things do really well one year, and then the next year they're not quite so good. So you just have to come to terms with it. I think if I was to choose my favourite thing, it would definitely be weeding, which is a really weird thing to say, but I just get lost. I can, you know, sit down on my kneeler, work through the beds. I try not to take too many weeds out, because I like to leave some of them, you know, for the wildlife. I'm quite into that. But I just, it's that sense of satisfaction, and you're touching the earth, and you're just going through the bed, seeing what's growing. It gives you a real focus on what's growing well in the border. So I really love doing that. I think that's probably my favourite thing. Thank you, Marcus and Ethan. It's been wonderful chatting to two like-minded, enthusiastic gardeners. I hope we have inspired listeners to encourage their little ones to get their gardening gloves on this summer. You can get your children involved by joining your local Dobbies Little Seedlings Club, but be sure to visit the dobbies.com website to sign up and book your slot. And for children who live a little more remotely, there is an online version of the club. We would love you to share your experiences with us on Facebook and Instagram by using the hashtag Dobbies Little Seedlings. And stay tuned for the next Dobbies podcast, which is coming soon.